Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 156, Mission Multiplication. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message for the New Wine in New Wineskins series on October 25th, 2020.
Okay. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone today?
Great.
Doing well?
Hallelujah. Bless
Praise God. The front row. There's always lots of enthusiasm in the front row. Praise the Lord. Welcome on Facebook. Everyone, hello to everyone listening out there on Facebook. It's good to have you all here with us or tuned in somehow. Are there any M&M fans in the house? Anyone loves M&Ms?
Praise the Lord.
Any? Any kind. Any category of M&Ms.
Amen.
I love M&Ms. I love chocolate. All chocolate. Hint, hint. No. Somebody in the team today, when we said the title of today's message is Mission Multiplication, she said, oh, that's M&Ms. I'm like, yes, it is, because I love M&Ms, and I love all chocolate. So praise the Lord. We're talking about Mission Multiplication today. God is good. He helped us come up with that title. If you want to hear the outtakes, the other candidates for titles of this message, just talk to Tanya. There's some really funny ones, like Sarah's sermon. Just trying to be creative, you know. But mission multiplication it is. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The runner-up was called to multiply. That's a pretty decent one. Maybe that can be our subtitle, right? We are called to multiply. So what if you could impact the world without ever traveling more than 100 miles from your location, your home base, your hometown? What if you could take a group of uneducated, just ordinary, regular Joes off the street, or Josephinas, I was thinking a female version of that, and help them become an army of world changers in 3-4 years? What if, right? Jesus did that, right? Jesus did that. How did Jesus do that? Because he wants us to be able to follow in his steps and do that. Jesus had a clear strategy, and he never wavered from that. We're talking about this today, about making disciples, because it's so important. It's so close to God's heart. It's who he is. It beats close to his heart, this of multiplying ourselves, what we receive, the fullness of Christ, submitting our lives to him in obedience to him, and turning around and showing that and pouring that into somebody else so that they can also do the same, right? And that's how the world is changed. That's how the world is impacted with the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's just pray, because this is an important message today from the heart of God. Oh, thank you, Father. You are so good. You are so good. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence and your word that reigns today. Lord, I submit my words, my mouth, my thoughts to you. I surrender wholly to you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you would take over. You would run away with this message, because it's your message. It's from your heart. I thank you, Father, for ministering to each life what you have for them, what needs to be said, not from me, but from your heart to them. Thank you for revelation today. Thank you for opening our eyes to see really that this isn't just another program. This isn't just something we do, but this is what your heart beats for. This is your plan. This is the instruction that you left for us. And you want us to really get it, not just in our minds, but you want us to get it in our hearts so that we dedicate our lives to this, to you. And so I thank you for just lifting burdens, breaking bondages today, and just speaking to our hearts in a powerful way. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was thinking about, wow, the worship songs that we sang today, Here I Am, right? The first one, Here I Am, and with arms high. This is my summary of what I could remember after the words flashed by the screen. So with arms high and heart abandoned, I surrender completely to you. And I thought sometimes we sing those songs, but here's a message that's going to challenge us. Here's a message that's going to challenge us. We can sing, Here I Am, and I surrender completely to you. But in this of discipleship, in following the directions, how are we doing with following the directions that he gave us to do? So buckle up. It's a positive message. You look a little scared. It's okay. I don't bite too much, maybe a little. Just think about M&Ms if you get a little bit nervous, okay? And it'll just relax us all, okay? Too bad I don't have M&Ms to share. You guys could just munch on them while we go through this here about looking at Jesus' model of how he did this. And this is a large part of who we are at My Father's House. This is our vision. This is our mission. Pastor Harley said that during his message a couple weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago now, about casting, when he was casting the vision, right, of the overall of this new wine and wineskin, the new wineskins, what we're doing, our engagement outreach of the pray, go, and disciple, right? He talked about how important, how that's a priority for us at My Father's House to make disciples. It's a large part of the mission statement, which is go, equip, and love. And you can see how discipleship fits into each one of those. The go, the equip, raise up, build up, train up, and love. You have to have all of those in discipleship. It's a piece of each of those is a piece of discipleship. So disciple making is entering into relationships to intentionally, not just like, oh, maybe it'll happen, maybe not, but it's intentionally like I'm setting out to pour into this person a relationship to help people follow Jesus, to be changed by Jesus and join the mission of Jesus. From Matthew, from the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We know this, and we'll look at it a little bit closer later on. So then a disciple maker is a disciple or a follower. Think about this visually, following. When you're following, you're right behind them. You're doing what they do, right? Like Simon says, remember that game? You follow what the other person does. So Jesus makes disciples. We make disciples. We're following him, right? So disciple maker is a disciple, a follower of Jesus who enters into relationships with people to intentionally help them to follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. So church is a spiritual family. That's us. Say, hi, I'm the church.
Hi.
You guys, all of us together, we are the church. We're the local church, but as a whole, the body of believers, the family of believers, we are a spiritual family growing in surrendered obedience to all the teachings of Jesus. Can't just pick our favorites. All the teachings of Jesus Christ, who gather together regularly under biblically recognized leadership for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission, otherwise known as making disciples, with a great commandment heart, loving God and loving people. So then a disciple-making culture, do you see how this goes? We're talking about disciple-making, there's a disciple-maker, there's the disciple then, the church, and then the disciple-making culture is the beliefs, habits, and narrative of a church constantly repeated with congruence and intentionality that make it clear to almost everyone all the time, including newcomers, people that just come in and visit and plop down, oh, that this church is about making disciples. So that's the disciple-making culture. So did you catch a main theme here? Something that was repeated in almost all of those definitions that I gave? Mm-hmm. Discipleship and love, but relationships. Relationships. It's all about having relationship. And, you know, Pastor Harley says it, you can come in and sit down and you can't really have a relationship with the back of somebody's head, right? I mean, we are about, and that's why, like, maybe people would say we're a touchy-feely church, we're a lovey church, we turn around, we talk, we afterwards, I mean, they have to practically kick us out. We're here, like, we inch toward the door, and we say, yeah, yeah, we're going, and we're, like, a little bit closer. And then we're there for another half an hour, and then commonly after cell group also, you can see a group is convening out in the parking lot, and after service, I see this as well, and sometimes I'm a part of that, and it's okay. It's a good thing because we're having relationship. Like, hey, tell me about your week, or, you know, whatever. We're sharing about what God is doing, or about how we love M&Ms, or, you know, whatever. Okay, it's good. It's relationship. That's the key here. With those relationships, it's based on what God has for us to the plan that God has for us to pour into others. It's His heart. It's His character, right? And it's also expanding on the Word of God. I think Pastor Harley talked about this when he did the casting vision message as well. Expounding on the Word of God to make it come alive to a disciple. To make it come alive, because a lot of us at one time or another, and maybe, you know, I still find myself sometimes I read something and I'm like, what? Like, how do I apply this? How do I live this out in my life? And we need help. We need somebody, a leader, somebody that can speak into our lives and show us and show us how do we live this out? And you can't do that if you don't have a relationship with somebody. You can't just do that with somebody on the street, like, help me figure these things out. And hey, I'm living this X situation in my life. What does God say about it? How do I tap into what He says, the instruction and wisdom and guidance, and apply that to this situation? Like, you know, and we need people to help us navigate those waters and navigate this to figure out how can I better live this in my life. So that then we can, with the purpose of, and this was Jesus's heart, to multiply ourselves to somebody else. That is part of the message of the gospel. It's not just that multiplying ourselves and making disciples is for the more advanced people or the more wise or whatever, you know, just some are called to do that. No, no, we are all called to do that. And it's not separated. Like, first I commit my life to the Lord, I repeat a prayer, and then later on I'm going to figure out maybe if I feel like I'm called to that to make disciples. No, it's a package deal. We get poured into, and we're going to see this when we go through Jesus's plan, that it's all together. It's not separated. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll see this as we look at this. Because Jesus wants the church to be a multiplying movement of disciples. There's the M&M again, multiplying movement of disciples. Jesus is a model himself for life in ministry. He recognized that people are at all different levels of growth, and that's okay, and development. And he understood that he needed a strategy to move them from being a lost person, lost out there. We were all there at one time, right? Yeah. To being a saved person, to being a committed worker in the harvest, and then to be able to raise up other people, right? To be workers in the harvest too. He recognized that, and his plan clearly shows that. So how do we move people from where they are to, you know, where, if they're lost, okay, how do we move them to being saved, to then being trained and equipped to be able to pour into somebody else, to reach other people? And Jesus did it. We're going to look at his process, his model of how he did it. He did it like this. First, before I get to the four kind of, I don't know if steps is quite right, but before the four parts of Jesus' process, the precursor is that how he even found his disciples, right? It wasn't that he just called out to the whole multitude, hey, anyone want to come follow me? Raise your hand like volunteers. No, but he, and this is in Luke 6, verse 12, he prayed, it says, Jesus prayed and asked the Father who to select. It says, this is Luke 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. So what was he asking God? What was the conversation? Do you ever imagine what is the conversation like between Jesus and God, his Father? Like what all occurred there? Because it doesn't say what exactly transpired during the prayer. But it says, verse 13, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. So we can imagine that Jesus was, just like we need to, press into the heart of God to receive something, to hear something. And so Jesus showed us how to find these disciples, how he did it. They were appointed by God, really, and he was just the messenger to be able to reach them. So God showed him, I believe, you know, they were having a discussion about character and people, and God sees into the heart of people, right? And he always sees the best for us. He always wants the best. He has a hope and a future for us, right? So he shared that with Jesus, and Jesus came down, and it says in the morning, and he chose 12 of them, and he designated them to be apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So this first step then, that was the precursor, right, of listening to God to appoint followers. This first step we find in John 1, can turn there, John 1, verses 35 to 42. And this first one, okay, we'll just read it and then I'll leave you hanging there so you stay with me about what it is. Okay, and see if you can pull this out. What's the first step, the first part? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is before Jesus is recognized as Savior, right? And John, who was baptizing people, had his followers. So he had his two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Wow. So John, who they followed, said, look, this is the Lamb of God. And it says that those two disciples heard there who they were following say this, and they said, okay, basically, we're leaving you. We're going with the Lamb of God now, right? We want the real deal, because John had said that. John had told them, the one after me is coming, right? And so they followed him. They followed Jesus. And then it says, verse 38, we're in John 1, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Verse 39, he says, come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother. He went and got his brother, Simon, and told him, we have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. So I think this is really interesting, right? When he sees that they're following him, he turns around and says, what do you want? And they call him, they recognize right away, they're already showing that, hey, I want to learn from you. I'm going to be teachable, because they call him teacher. They call him rabbi, right? And they say, where are you staying? And he just says, come, follow me. He made an invitation. So that's the first the first step here in the model of Jesus of making disciples is this invitation or reaching out. He saw that they were following and he reached out to them. Like they were a little, you know, these two curious guys, like kind of like, who is this guy? But yet they were already ready to follow him. So they were showing that they were going to just lay it all down. Right. And so he made this further invitation. Come and you'll see, like, come check it out. Spend the day with me. Hang out. Let's see. So this is what we need to do. We need to reach out to those that are asking us questions that show, you know, curiosity or like, you know, the, you know, kind of, they're maybe a little confused, but like, know that there's something different about you. Like, what is it? You know, come and see. Come spend some time with me. Let me invite you into this amazing relationship that is to know Jesus. People need opportunities to see and to discover who God is. And sometimes you and I will be that opportunity that they will be able to have to experience who Jesus is. And we do this reaching out when we live our normal lives, you know, our daily lives, maybe with our coworkers, with our neighbors, with our friends, or people that the Lord brings our way, right? We do this when we go out intentionally, like the Go Team. We'll go out and they ask the Lord, and we're looking to give an invitation to the ones that Jesus has the invitation. It's like we go up on the mountainside like Jesus did, and we're asking the Father, who is it, Lord? And then when we go out, when we see them, we give the invitation. We reach out. We invite them to come and see, right? And people have a choice. They have a choice to come and see, and that could look different ways. But we are faithful to give that message and give that invitation. So that first part of the model is reaching out. The second one we see in also John 1, verse 43. It says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And this seems so simple, but it is that to plug them in. It's Jesus plugged in Philip and the other disciples by calling them to actually follow him. So it's more than an invitation now. It's stepping into a relationship. It's stepping into a commitment. And there's a process involved in making people or disciples rooted in Jesus. Really, he does it. It's not that we make them or force them. But when somebody is hungry, we are used as an instrument to show them the way. And like I said earlier about expounding on the Word of God, showing them how to put this into practice, how to follow him, how to lay down your life and submit to him. And that's a process. Was it not a process for each of you in your lives? I mean, all of that didn't happen overnight, right? That you get the invitation and you get plugged in and make a commitment. I know mine was a process. So plugging people in, following me, when Jesus said to Philip, follow me. He's inviting him further to say, come, walk with me, imitate what I do. That's follow, right? Do what I do, imitate me. So we're called to surrender ourselves to the leadership of Jesus and walk as he walked. In 1 John 2, verses 5 through 6, I'll let you get there. Those that are following along are looking it up. 1 John 2, 5 through 6, it says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Wow, when we obey his word, the love for God is completed in us. So we're no longer just hearers of the word, we're actually doing it. And the love of God completes us. It's filled out in us, in other words. So whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. That's the second part of the verse. It says, let me read it all without my side notes in there. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Okay, so if we claim to live in him, if we claim to be his follower and his disciple, we must live as Jesus did. And like I said, that's a process. And so if you fall, it's okay. There's no condemnation. Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are learning. It's like a little child, baby learning to walk. Can't wait to watch Abby start to take those first steps after she starts crawling. And, you know, she's going to fall sometimes. And so we're going to fall in this process of learning to live out his instructions. It may not always be, you know, super organized and neat and pretty all the time, because and I could tell you some stories. It wasn't. But it is a process, and we have people to pour into us to help us. And if you don't find one, okay. So that second one, we have reach out is the first, right? And invite. The second one is he plugged them in. Jesus plugged his disciples in to really see what it means to follow me, to make that commitment, to lay themselves down, to submit and obey him. That third step or part is John 8, verse 31. And this is he built them up. He built up these men to become fishers of men. So he said, verse 31, John 8, says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So it's similar to the verse that we said previously from 1 John, excuse me. It's similar to that. If you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. So holding to a teaching isn't just talking about it, right? It's not just talking about doing something. It's actually doing it. Holding, it's tangible. You can hold it, right? You're sticking to that. His teaching, everything that Jesus taught, his model, then you really are my disciples. You really are my followers. So this is about teaching people to obey. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. This is Matthew 4, 18 through 22. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets, and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Wow. They just left their nets and they followed him. So it's part of these two things together. Step two of being plugged in and making a greater commitment, and then learning all that's involved, being built up, being trained. And then Jesus took them under his wing, so to speak, and took them with him along in his life, in his ministry, right? And he let them do it sometimes, like the, exercise, like practice, and he corrected it if it needed to be. Like, remember the miracle of the bread and the fish, or the loaves and the fishes feeding the multitude of people. He said, now you guys go. He prayed to the Father, and then he said, now you guys do it. And they're like, oh, okay, we're on now. Like, you know, we got to figure out how we're going to keep this miracle going. So he took them along, and you can look through the scriptures and find all the things. They ate together. And there's fellowship happening. They were talking too about all the M&Ms they like to eat or whatever, the fish or, you know, they're sharing life together. And in that process, the disciples are learning how to submit to Jesus, how to follow him, how to do the miracles that he did, how to have the faith that he did, how to seek and consult the Father like he did, right? All these things, he took the time because that was the strategy, that was the plan. And in the beginning, it didn't look like much, but he took the time to pour himself into them so that they could learn and they accompanied him. We want people to be fully trained disciples that can move people along the process. Don't have to be fully mature. We're fully mature once we get to the presence of God, right? But fully trained, like knowing how to do it as the Holy Spirit would lead each of us. There's flavor in there that, you know, the way I disciple somebody is going to be a little bit different than the way Cheryl or Tanya or whoever disciple somebody, because we've got different flavors, right? We've got different ingredients, and that's okay. But the way that the Holy Spirit would show us and lead us, it's all going to follow, you know, flow from Jesus's heart of this plan of reaching out, of plugging them in, building them up, training people to submit and follow him. It requires a commitment. Yes. And Paul describes it like this when he wrote a letter to the Galatians. Galatians 4, 19, he said, I'm going to read it first in King James. My little children of whom I travail in birth, again until Christ be formed in you. He's pouring his heart out to the Galatians. And he's saying, I travail. And, you know, in our cell group this week, we talked about this word travail. What does that mean, to travail? And in the scriptures, what I can see here at least, it's Paul talking about discipleship. Raise your hand if you've had children, okay. Okay, mothers. I'm specifically now talking about the mothers because Mel raised his hand. Okay, he's had children, but you didn't have the experience of birthing them, right? And so I guess I need to be specific details here. So raise your hand, women, those of you that, right, have birthed a child, right? That's what travail is. Can you imagine that kind of intensity, that kind of, you know, the groans, the feelings, the heart behind it? You're pushing out, excuse me, but you're pushing out this disciple, this child, right? And that's Paul's heart. That was how much he cared about this. It's not just some, oh yeah, I'm going to just live my life and have my head down and stare at my own belly button and do what this says, and maybe somebody will see that and follow me. No, he was travailing as if in childbirth until the character of Christ be formed in another. And that's what we need to get this heart for, right? Because this is God's heart. This is Jesus' heart for this. Paul says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So he had some things to correct them on, things to say, but he was saying, I want to be with you so you could really understand and feel my heart and know that I am striving with all effort to have the character of Christ birthed in you, right? That's not some light thing. So NIV says it this way. This is Galatians 4, 19 and 20. It says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Wow, that really touches me deeply of how serious and how much of his life he poured into that. How it's intentional and it's intense, you know, his heart for seeing the character of Christ built up in another person. you know, to share a little bit about my story, I didn't become a disciple maker overnight. It was a process. I recommitted my life to Jesus when I lived in Arizona. And various people poured into my life. Then I went on to, after 3 years in Arizona, serving on the Navajo reservation, then the Lord took me to Argentina. And I went there as I was 3 years old. I was a toddler still, right? And I went there like a little chick, a little chicky, just flying out of the nest, but I had no idea. And I was talking to Pastor Harley about this the other day. He said, well, you know, share with them like how you became a disciple. And, you know, I said, well, there were several people then in Argentina. I had several leaders over those 7 years of being built up. So everyone's process is different. Mine was, I'd say about 7 years, maybe 10 years, because you count the three first that I was, you know, born again, and then the 7 years that I spent in Argentina. But I said to him, when I came here and found God led me to my father's house after the 7 years in Argentina, I was a very different Sarah than the Sarah that went to Argentina in 2013. And I kind of laughed about it. You know, I was like, you would have had a different Sarah on your hands to pour into. So there's a process, you know. I had to mature a lot. And being in full-time missionary work, every day serving, when you get up some days and you just, hey, I'm not feeling it, that develops something in you. Well, it did in me. It developed something in me. Hey, Sarah, you're going to go clean the toilets today. Okay, I guess that's what I'm going to do. And then after that, you're going to prepare a message, and then you're going to translate a class into Spanish, or Spanish into English for the English speakers for 2 hours. And then we're going to have other work duty time, and you're going to sweep the stairs and wax the floors. And then at 4 o'clock, you're leading a group of people, and we're going to go out and do evangelism in the street. I mean, this is like daily life, right? And so you can imagine, like, you know, I was a different Sarah when I went there than when I came home to the States in 2013. And it was a process. And there were many people, many leaders that poured into me, that spent time. And I'm sure, you know, maybe some of those births or those pains of childbirth over me and like, when is she going to get this? You know? And, but yet I was hungry. I would say that, I was hungry for Jesus. And so over time, this training happened, this building up that we're talking about. So be gentle with yourself if you're in that process. If you're in the invitation, you're coming and seeing, or if you're in the being plugged in stage, you're in the where God is saying, I'm calling you to be my follower, and you're just getting that, you know, of like, oh, I got to lay my life down and follow him. Or if you're in this process of being built up and trained, and there's things that are going to be polished off of you, and that hurts, right? That hurts a little bit. It's like the pruning process. So be patient with yourself, because it really is a process. Like I said, I didn't become a disciple maker ready to like pour into somebody overnight. And I learned along the way how to do that, because I went with my disciple makers, the people that were pouring into me. I went along with them. I accompanied them when we would reach out to people on the streets in the like slum neighborhoods that we ministered to. And I saw how they treated the people. I saw how they ministered. I saw all of that. I saw how you could take the word that God give you and share it with these people that you maybe felt like you didn't have anything in common, but the word drew us together, you know? And so I learned all of these things. And so little bit, like they'd give me, you know, responsibility. Okay, go out and try it. Like Jesus did with his disciples. Okay, now you're going to keep the miracle going. Okay, now you're going to give this message today. And then you come back to your leader and go, oh, that was a mess. And they go, well, okay, so here's how you could do it a little differently next time, right? And so you learn like step by step. It's this building up. It's this training. Okay, after that is sending out. This is the fourth part of the process, the sending out. Okay, when this is can be one example of this can be found in John 20, verse 21, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, right? They were hiding out, kind of scared. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." I think it was kind of a forceful thing, like, "Don't be scared, you cowards," like, "Peace, peace be on you," right? Like, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you now." There's such confidence in that, like, "Who, me? You're sending me? Oh, wow." Okay, so he called his disciples, and he's calling us to reproduce what we have learned, reproduce in others what he has shown or what he showed them. They knew what to do because he taught them. They accompanied him. They were a part of it. And he taught them how to do it. They had no question of what to do because he walked them along. He made disciples and he appointed leaders so that it could be multiplied over and over again. Also, Jesus' last words to the disciples, he reminded them what their assignment was. You know, if you're wanting to get an important message across and you have like a bunch of things that you want to say, but there's a heart message, like there's the most important thing. Let's say you're a mother and you're leaving the house and you're telling your kids like these things, this and this, and don't forget this. But the most important thing you're going to say at the end, right? You're going to say the last thing. It's like what's left on them, on their hearts. So the last thing that he told them, and we see this, the Great Commission, right? We've seen this a million times, but let's look at it because it's so important. It's so key about who we are and what we're called to. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore,'" let's count the verbs as we read this, "'go and make disciples of all nations,'" baptizing them, right? We've got go, make, baptize, "'in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit,' and teaching," that's a verb, right? Action, "'teaching them,'" we're at four, "'to obey everything I have commanded to you.'" So there's four action words in there. Go, make, baptize, teach. And then what's his promise? He will be with us. It says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. We don't have to figure this all out totally blind in the dark, like groping around, like not knowing what we're doing. He left his instruction. He left his plan so we can study it and learn from it. And then he's with us. His Holy Spirit helps us as we go to pour into people, to build them up, and to send them out then. So we can do this. We can do this. This is the encouragement part. Be encouraged. We can go and we can reach out. We can give that, you know, like throw out our nets and cast an invitation for the ones, the specific ones that the Lord is showing us that the Holy Spirit is going after because he knows. And then we plug them in. They get built up and they are sent out to do the same, to multiply. And it's not just, okay, now you fly, but all along the building up is they're learning how to pour into somebody. And then there's a time that they kind of fly from the nest, right? And they're doing it on their own. And it's really, really exciting. John 15. I love this verse. John 15, verse 8, and then I jump ahead to 16 and 17. And this talks about bearing fruit. These were some of the candidates, runner-up for the title of this message, had to do with fruit pickers, fruit bearers, I don't know, fruit basket, all this stuff. We were just brainstorming all this stuff. So this is to my Father's glory. Like, we give the Father glory when what? You bear much fruit. When you're bearing fruit, like, oh, there's an apple. I've produced myself in somebody else. And that gives the Father glory, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Wait, what? When I bear fruit, that's when I pour myself into and it produces fruit, life in somebody else, that's how I show that I'm a disciple. Woo! Right? I'm not just a disciple because I call myself a disciple or because I say I come to, you know, I'm Christian and I come sit in church. I'm a disciple because I follow, like the verses that we read earlier, I follow what he says to do and because I'm bearing much fruit. Wow. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You're all chosen. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Each one of you is chosen to bear fruit, to produce life in somebody else. And not just any old fruit, but fruit that does what? It remains. It'll last, right? It's not going to go rotten. Thank you, Jesus. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. That is so powerful, these verses. So let's review. Fruit is an indication of multiplication, an indication of pouring life into somebody else. And it's indication that we are truly a disciple of Jesus. It means I'm following after Jesus if I'm producing disciples behind me that follow me as I'm following him, right? And it gives glory to the Father. So making disciples is the result of or the consequence of or proof that we are really following Jesus. So if you're following Jesus, we should start to see at some point, you know, I understand there's a process, but at some point there's fruit beginning to, oh, there's a little head, a little seed, a little, you know, sprout of life there that they're producing something. It's also talking about the producing like the character. I think that starts to show first the character of Jesus, right? And then fruit actual, like a whole big piece of juicy peach, you know, is the disciple that we make. But first, the fruit, the consequence, like, is that character of Jesus being formed in us. Okay. I'm going to do a little illustration here. I'm going to show you, because I saw this several years ago. Some of us saw this at an encounter retreat, and it was so powerful, and I got it. Like, I'm a visual person, so when I saw this illustration, I thought, oh, man, this is it. This is what it's about. This is Jesus's way of we're talking about multiplication. So, Tanya, why don't you come up? Tanya's going to represent another way to make disciples, which is addition. Okay, we have addition and we have multiplication. So I'm going to show you the difference. So Tanya is a follower of Jesus. She lays down her life. She follows Jesus. She commits herself to him and she understands, oh, I got to go make disciples, right? And so Tanya, go, and she's going to show addition. Go and make a disciple. Like, pour yourself into somebody. I'll stand up here. Are we okay, Facebook people? Are you seeing this? Okay. I want you to be able to see this. Okay. So she's going to go again. She went out and she got Harley. Okay. She got Pastor Harley and she comes back and then she goes out again and she gets Cheryl. She's got two. Okay. She's going to go again. Look, she's sweating. She's forcing herself. Striving. She's working hard here. Okay, she's got three. I'll just stop right there for the purpose of just because we're going to run out of people here. Okay, so this is addition, okay? Now, I'll start with myself. So this is addition. Now multiplication is different. Okay. Yeah, you guys step over there because we're going to get big real fast here. Not to compete here, but, you know, there's going to be a difference and you're going to see a difference, right? So So I'm going to reach out and I'm going to produce life into Pastor Karen. Okay, so I pour into her. I invest in her. Childbirth, like, pains of childbirth, right? Until the character of Christ is formed in her, right? And then together, I'm teaching her. Together, we're going to go and we're each going to reach one. So we're each going to pour out. So come on up. Yes? Yes? Because we each pour into one, and then all four of us, so she's pouring in, I'm pouring in, we're pouring in, and then all together, all four of us go, and we each get one. So go and get one. So it's like a group effort. It's a team effort, right? So here we are, happy disciples. Be happy. Oh, we're submitted to Jesus and we're teaching others how to do this, right? Awesome. We're growing quickly. So now each one of us goes and gets another one. Go. I hope there's enough people. Go. This will be the last the last time. Mike. Okay. So I'm going to stand in front. You guys can all be like behind me here. Okay, so we'll stop there. So move together this way so Facebook can get the idea here that there's a lot of people, okay? So how many, can somebody count real quick? There's a lot of people up here. I guess we don't really need to, maybe in the teens, right? 14? 17. Okay, so 17 people were produced doing this method of Jesus, the multiplying. Did you see that? So I reached one, then together we reached four, and then it just grows and grows and grows. And then Tanya over here, she just did one and then came back, and then did another one and came back, and then did another one. So you can see the difference. They have, oh, let's count. One, two, three, four. Four people versus 17. So you can see that. Okay, have a seat. Thank you. Thank you, volunteers. You can see the power in that, right? That's incredible how fast. In the beginning, it may not look like much because it takes time. Tanya was going maybe quickly, and like maybe, you know, childbirth takes time. There's a process, right? For somebody to learn this and to get it. But when they do, then it just multiplies more, the quantity and the fruit. And the fruit that remain. And there's kind of a team effort. You saw that because then all four of us, once we had Pastor Karen and Janie and Don, then all four of us go together. And so it's like this team effort rather than like a lone ranger just going and coming back and then going and coming back. And you're kind of on your own. There wasn't this group effort, okay? So this is what multiplication, this is what's on the heart of the Father for us to reproduce ourselves into others. So with the new wine and the new wineskins, the prayer team prays, the go team goes and wins people to Jesus, right? And gets that invitation. And then there's a transition, right, from winning a soul to people being discipled. And even that is a little bit of a process. And people, you know, there's like a stabilizing process. So our idea is that people would be on the go team and the disciple. Like the same person could be on, you can be on all three teams, but somebody could be also on the go team and the disciple team, because if you are out there and you meet somebody that is ready and willing to follow you and follow Jesus and really wants a change, a transformation in their lives, then I forgot what I was going to say because I just get so excited about transformation in people's lives. What was it?
Praise
the Lord. Then you disciple them, and then you already, thank you, and then you already know, yes, you already know them. You were at the first encounter. You were at the start, and so then there's an easy transition into, okay, well, I'm going to pour into you now, okay? So there can be some overlap. Jesus believes in you. He wants you on the team. Amen. Like everybody, every one of you sitting here that calls yourself a part of my Father's house, and those listening on podcast or watching on Facebook Live, he wants you a part of the team. And he understands we're all at different levels of growth. And wherever you are, he's calling us to a greater step. Wherever you are, we can all take a greater step forward. There are some criteria, right? Because Jesus, you know, they had to give up, leave their father, drop their nets, drop their livelihood. So there's some criteria here. He said, let the dead bury the dead. It's not just anyone and everyone, you know. So to just give a little outline of some of the criteria to be a part of the engaged team, any three of these, of the go, of the prayer, of the disciple. And this criteria, we didn't just come up with this to exclude people, not at all. This is based on the Word of God, okay? Because he wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be successful. He wants to have us to have fruit that remains. So he's giving us some guidelines of how to do it in a way that will be successful and have fruit that remains. So we and Jesus, first and foremost, is looking for people who are willing to be faithful. Are you faithful? Are you committed? So to be a faithful, reliable person, and we see this in 2 Timothy 2:2. We've heard this, I believe, before. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be also qualified to teach others. So, what kind of people?
Faithful,
some versions say. Reliable. Is there any other
trustworthy
people? Committed, some versions say. Okay. So, and then he goes on there to make the analogy of a disciple as a soldier, right? A disciple is a soldier, one who takes orders and obeys his commanding officer, right? And an athlete, what does an athlete do? Submits and follows the rules of the game, right? And also he makes this analogy or metaphor of a farmer, a disciple is like a farmer who's hardworking and full of faith. He plants seeds and believes it's going to come up, right? And he works at it. He's hardworking. He's intentional about it. But then he rests and has faith. So listen to this in the Message version. I don't use the Message all the time, but I like this same section of 2 Timothy 2, it says, it's 1 through 7 in the Message version. It says, so, my son, I'll add, or daughters, throw yourself into this work for Christ. Pass on what you heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen, to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. When the going gets rough, take it on the chin with the rest of us, the way Jesus did. A soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. An athlete who refuses to play by the rules will never get anywhere. It's the diligent farmer who gets the produce. Think it over. God will make it all plain. I just like that in the Message version. I think it just puts it on a real level. Just like, I can get that. I can understand. Throw yourself into this work of Christ. That's awesome. So we're looking for reliable people. And part of the way that is seen is commit to going to regularly to a cell group. Are you a part of a cell group? If not, get in one. And the times and the information is on the bulletin, and Tanya's going to review that with us today, but you can ask any of us, hey, what cell group do you go to? What are the different options that, you know, that I have? So commit and show up. I'm thinking of some voices that say, you lazy thing, like, come on, get out of bed and go to a cell group. It's okay, we can do this. Another criteria, have someone speak into your life, like a leader. Are you submitting to your cell group leader or another person in the church here that's also being discipled? So I have people that I, you know, pour into, but I'm also being poured into by pastors. So there's like a chain of authority. We're respecting authority. So being faithful and reliable, committing to a cell group, being willing to have somebody speak into your life. We want to help you grow. It's not to just correct you and pull you apart and dissect, you know, but we want to see the character of Christ formed in you. And so that's why out of love, we must remember disciple makers, and out of love we disciple. Out of love we instruct and teach and exhort with and correct with the word, right? Because we want fruit that remains. We want to see you grow. So the question is, are you teachable? Are you putting yourself out there? Are you willing for somebody to correct you and help you and come alongside you? And also part of that is submitting to leadership. These all kind of go, you know, intertwined. Submitting to leadership, submitting to the vision that God has given them, and we follow behind that. Acts 6, 1 through 7 says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And I believe this was read, I think maybe Brother Don read this last Sunday. I don't know if it was the offering message, perhaps, about the widows being designated, appointed. Or sorry, the widows were needing food, needing the food distribution. And so, listen, I'll let the word tell it so I don't get it wrong. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you. So they're being chosen from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man, listen to this, the description of Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So up above, the criteria for them was to choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And then when they describe Stephen, who was chosen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands upon them. Verse 7, listen up. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. So you see the result. What was the result? That they grew, right? There was an increase. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly because they were looking for, and they asked, I'm sure they prayed, just like Jesus did, to get these people appointed, and then they were chosen. They were full of faith, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. So they were appointed to do this work on the criteria of being full of the Spirit of God, right? Wisdom and faith. And the results just show you, like, that this works. So this is what we're basing this on. So there's a little bit of criteria there to follow. And if you feel like a little overwhelmed, like, I don't measure up, like, I'm not there yet, that's okay. That's all right. Set a goal of those criteria and work on one thing. And like I said, they kind of intertwine, but ask for help. Get to a leader, get to a disciple maker, get to a cell group and plug in and identify where you want to grow and ask for help to somebody to come alongside of you, and you can grow. It's okay. And you can learn how to be full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. It's all right. We're all learning and growing. We're all on that quest. But we can all take a step further. So don't be overwhelmed, right, by the criteria. Because it says, as we read earlier, God is appointing you. He has chosen you. And he will equip you. And he will put people in your path to help you, to train you. And people that you click with, people that you understand, you know, or that understand how to help you. And God will instruct them in how to help you, okay? So press into the Lord and grow. We can all grow. We're all growing together, right? Because we need you too. We need you. If you're like, I don't meet that criteria yet. I can't be on the team. Okay, that's okay. Continue to walk out your process. Be gentle with yourselves in that process. Like I said, mine was 10 years, 7 years fully, you know, like the pressing process, right? And so it's okay. I'm hearing myself say, it's okay. It's all right, Sarah. It's okay that your process took you 7 years. You are where you are now. So I will land the plane with this verse, Colossians 1, 28 through 29. He is the one we proclaim. This is all through the Lord, for the Lord, from the Lord. He is the one we proclaim. Admonish means to caution against specific harms, to warn, to reprove mildly, to urge or to exhort. Okay? So, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That is our heart, because that is what God has commanded us to do, to present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. That was Paul's words, right? He's strenuously contending with all the energy that Christ is working in him so that other people, his disciples, people that were learning from him, he could present them fully mature in Christ as he is teaching them and admonishing them and proclaiming the gospel to them. So you fit into this. Each and every one of you, you fit into this and you belong and we love you and we want to help you grow because we're all growing. And so come and be a part. Amen. Be a part of whatever the process, wherever he has you. But God has you here for a reason. And it's to grow. It's to bloom where you are planted. It's to have the character of Christ formed in you so you can have a fruit basket, so you can produce fruit that remains. So let's pray. Why don't you stand up for a second? I've been sitting a long time. I've talked a long time. We will just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercy is new today over us. I praise you, Lord, that you have a plan for us and for our lives. I thank you that your plan is perfect and that you have placed us here for a reason, because you see the big picture, but you also see us and you see our heart and you see where we're at, and you want us to grow so that we can be a fruit maker. We can be a fruit multiplier. Help us, Jesus, to fully understand this plan. Give us revelation where we need it, Father, of what we're missing. Let us fully grasp your heart, Jesus, for multiplying ourselves into others. And give us the patience, the grace to do it, Father. Help us wherever we are in this process of reaching out, of plugging in, of building up, of sending out. Wherever we are in that, help us with the power of your Holy Spirit to press in, to listen, and to really understand what season you have us in. What do you want us to learn? How do you want us to grow in this time? And we trust you to do that. We trust you to put people in our lives that can help us with what you want to do. We surrender to you, Jesus, in the process that you have us in, so that whether it's now or it's a few years down the road or in a few months, that we can begin to produce fruit. We first want to produce your character in us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have promised us that you will not leave or forsake us, that you are with us till the end of the age. So you are inside us, you are with us, you are empowering us as a church to do this, to grow ourselves, to multiply ourselves in a powerful way. And I thank you for that. I thank you for leading and guiding my Father's house as we endeavor to follow after you, as we endeavor to submit ourselves to you and move forward with what you have for us. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can have a seat, and I'm just going to go into prayer for the Facebook friends that are listening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of our Facebook Live listeners out there. Father, we just ask your blessings upon them. Father, you are good. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for strengthening them. Father, for to walk with in victory with whatever they will face this week. Thank you, Lord, that each day they get their marching orders from you. Father, I pray for just times of intimacy and over all of us, times of hearing your voice, times of pressing in, times of just sitting and allowing you to hold us and embrace us or study your word and have it our eyes just opened in a new way. I pray revelation. I pray insight and understanding in new ways this week that we will be able to see something that we didn't before, so that you are just adding another tool, adding another equipping to us in this mission that we are called to. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them with health and favor and strength this week. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I just pray, I heard this earlier, and we were talking about this, and this little thing came out, this little nugget, and maybe it's for somebody on Facebook, or maybe it's for somebody sitting here, of like, okay, I'm going to be an excuse buster. We can't be, it's not an excuse to say, I don't have time for whatever it is that in regards to what God is asking us to do, if it's disciple making, sometimes that's something that I hear. Well, I don't have time to do that. That's really like an involved thing. You do have time. I've changed my language when I find myself saying, I don't have time. Well, I have time. I have 24 hours every day. I have time to sleep for how many X amount of hours. I have time to eat. I have time to, you know, maybe spend an hour on Facebook. However, I'm choosing to spend my time, right? So let's get rid of all the excuses, but especially this one of I don't have time. We have choices. We all have choices, right? And so it's what you make time for. And what do you make time for? You make time for something that you value, right? And so if we're standing in the beginning of worship and we're saying, with heart abandoned and arms I lift to you and I'm fully surrendered, let's hear God's heartbeat and hear God's heart for making disciples and producing ourselves and others to extend his kingdom. Because if that's what's important to him, then, and I call myself a follower of Jesus, then shouldn't I be making time for that? Amen. And not saying, well, I don't have time. Well, you have time to do whatever else. So what are your priorities? What are you valuing? And are we truly pressing into the heart of God to hear what his heart beats for and then allow him to order our time and how we're spending our time? That's just a little nugget that came out earlier and I realized, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I just started talking about this. We say this, but it's in regards to discipleship. So that's for somebody, and I'll take it for myself too, that we should think about this and how we say and how we think about our time. So I think that went from prayer into exhorting, but oh well, praise God. So bless you all. Bless the Facebook Live listeners. Have an awesome week in Jesus. And let's do this. Let's make fruit.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.